It oughtn't amaze me, but it does amaze me how services are different. God gets in that. He knows that so very well. He knows the days we have. He knows the things we've experienced. And he's so much better than the preacher at knowing what we have need of. I appreciate when we can worship the Lord. That's what my heart wants to do tonight. It wants to just be quiet and worship the Lord. Ash, I really, really appreciate those songs. It just brings confirmation to what God's laid on my heart that I want to share tonight. And I'm not even sure exactly how much I'm going to share with you tonight and what the thoughts I had come to prepare to share. But I'm just so thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. I'm just so thankful that it's not just written in my Bible, but I have found it to be true that he is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I'm just so thankful that he is yea concerning all of his promises. Like you can prop yourself up on him, and he grows not weary. Oh, I'm weary, but he's not. Oh, I get tired, but he does not. And I am so thankful tonight for that tonight, church. And isn't that good news that we really, because sometimes it doesn't feel like life is very real here, but I can assure you, and you know by the testimony tonight, I'm sure you can share with me and we can all relate together. When you walk outside of these doors, life gets really real. And I'm so thankful that it is there that you can prove him true. In providential tests, the song says, he is all that we have need of. Oh, in the morning, oh, in the night, oh, in the day, oh, in the grieving moments, oh, in the sorrowing moments, oh, when life sits heavy on my heart, oh, young person, when life is difficult and friendships are challenging and trying to figure out all of life, oh, in all of that, give me Jesus. He just knows how to make it work. I want you to take your Bibles with me tonight and turn to the Gospel of John, the 9th chapter. I just really tell you where my heart is and where it has been for over a year now. This past year, along with probably your church and your life, your community, as well as my community, we faced some uncharted waters, to say the least. I don't have an exact count, but somewhere between 8 and 9 funerals since the beginning of the year I've done. And I think there was last year we had to say farewell, not goodbye. That's kind of final. Just a so long for now. From 4 different sweet people in the church. And it's tough. It's tough for me to look back there Sunday after Sunday and know that those faces aren't with us right now, but we're going to meet one of these glad, glorious days. And I'm so thankful that I've got hope in the return of Jesus Christ and what he has promised to our lives. But this past year, I had to say go so long to a dear and precious and mutual friend of some of you that are gathered in this church tonight. A man that I've seen walk so faithful to his Lord. Unashamed. I've seen him at places where it was difficult sometimes for me to speak up, but not him. Totally unashamed about his Lord. And in my mind and my thought, it was just too early, Lord. It's too quick. And Pete, there's another gentleman that comes to my mind as I'm standing here and looking at you sitting there, and a mutual friend that what we had to say so long to for now. And there's other things that come in and compound all of that too. And I don't know about you, but tonight sometimes there is difficulties in understanding all of that. And I, maybe you don't, St. Thomas, but I do personally. Sometimes I have wrestles with the Lord. The Word of God says His ways are higher than my ways and His thoughts than my thoughts. But sometimes I'm saying, God, I want my ways above Your ways. And what I'm thinking, I want it to be right. Why? Because it makes it easier on the inside. And I was praying and I was searching the scriptures and I was asking God again for the manna that we needed tonight. And I just feel like maybe tonight this one here is maybe more pointed than maybe some of the other messages, just because maybe it's where you're at tonight too. Gospel of John, we find an account written there and given to us that is unique, nor do I know all of the depths of the interpretation of chapter 9, but there's some things that God has led us to understand in it, and I believe they're so important for us to pick up tonight and to not just take home with us for tonight, but to plug into our lives and our relationships and our faith and trust that it will increase it and it will encourage it and it will lift it towards Him. In John's Gospel chapter 9, it's lengthy, and so I'm not asking you to stand tonight for the reading of God's Word just simply because of that, but if you would you follow along in the scriptures as we go there? And as Jesus passed by, He saw a man which was blind from his birth, and His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Listen to the Word of God tonight as Jesus is describing to them a situation that they were in lack of understanding. Jesus answered and He said, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Oh, it's difficult in the seasons of our lives sometimes we walk through, and it's difficult in our world and our changing culture at a rapid pace and in the world that we live in. Yet here in the United States of America, it is difficult. But understand this, beloved tonight and child of God, St. Thomas and visitors and all my brothers and sisters alike, that this whole thing is not about us. Blessed be His holy name that a creator God created you and me and every fiber of our bodies and breathed into us, and we became a living soul, and we have opportunity to have a relationship with a holy, matchless, everlasting God. What a wonderful privilege. But it's not about us. We're just allowed to have a part in it. It is all about Him. Oh, God, help me to see that more readily in my life. Oh, God, help me to see that in my woes, in my heartaches, in my complainings, in my grumblings, in my frustrations. Help me to see in the reality of my walk of faith, it is all about Him and the cross. I just preached a message Sunday morning about Enoch. 300 some years he lived. His father, Jared, had lived 362, and his son lived, Methuselah, 969 years. I'm shortening his life. Can you even imagine that kind of a lifespan? And you know what our longevity is here in our generations that we live? Why, we're just a speck in the space of all time and all eternity. And God has always been, He always will be. He has been in a moving current. And God help me to understand that. I'm just a part of it. Thank you, Jesus. I'm a part of it. Glory and majesty belong to Him. Oh, that we would worship Him tonight. Oh, that we would not sit so often saying, "Go, Lord, give me again, Lord, give me, but Lord, let me praise You. Let me thank You in everything that has breath. give him praise. I got to get on here. Verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me. While his day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world, Jesus said. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made a clay of spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay, and he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen that he was blind said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he, and others said, he is like him, but he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go and wash in that pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and he washed. And I washed and I received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I don't know. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus had made the clay and he opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him now, he and had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes and I wash and do see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, is this your son, whom you say was born blind, and how he doth now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we know not, or how he hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, and he shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was the Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again they called the man that was blind and said unto him, God, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that wherein as I was blind and now I see. Then said they unto him again, what did he to thee? And now he opened thine eyes. He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him. Then they reviled him and said, thou art a disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know not that God spake unto Moses, As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. Then a man answered and said unto them, why herein is this a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, he heareth him. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man openeth the eyes of the one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Then answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which, catch a hold of this, this is a little paradoxical here, it's a little backwards in our understanding, but there's understanding here for us. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see might that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. Some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now ye say, We see. Therefore, your sin remaineth. Father, tonight, we just sense you wanting to reach down into our hearts deeper, maybe than maybe before. And maybe there's some struggles in the interior this evening hour that you certainly are aware about. Struggles similar to maybe things that I have been faced with and have processed over the last period of time in my life. God, I am under the understanding and full confidence and trust and belief that the Word of God has an answer for everything in our lives. I truly believe sometimes we really have to seek with diligent spiritual eyes to find it, but the Word of God says, They that seek me shall find me. God, you know how we're built and you know how we operate so very well. And God, you know the adversary and his very deceptive tactics of knocking the feet out underneath us and kicking the props out underneath us. And you know how he allows or he likes to work with our feelings and our emotions and using all of them to wrap up and walk contrary to God and to his ways just because we have lack of understanding and there's frustrations that move in and there's cares that are weighty and there's grief that is real. Not to diminish any of that. It's very, very real, and there's a process that sometimes we can't get a hold of, and it discourages us in our humanity, and we want it now, we want it instantly, we want to understand it at God's level, and yet we know that God is God and we are not, and there's a frustration sometimes that we're worked with, and God, we're coming to you tonight, sometimes intentionally, but God, tonight through the Holy Spirit, will you help us to see them, some things that we need to see. God, tonight, I know you said to Peter that you were going to build your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. God, tonight, if we're honest, sometimes we feel like it is prevailing against us. And I pray, God, tonight, that you would give us help through the preaching of your word. Lord, we're students sitting here with attentive ears, wanting to hear from you. Will you give us help tonight in Jesus' name? Amen. A message that I've entitled Blind Spots. Do you see yourself in the story at all tonight? The count that is given? I like to think that that in my life and my walk of faith, I like to think that I'm able to just look into this story and say, those crazy Pharisees, how could they be so ridiculous? But tonight, and I'm too embarrassed to reveal any of it, but tonight, if you could see my life as an open book and you could look into my walk of faith, I can tell you that if I get honest with you tonight and really want to be honest with you tonight, that a lot of times I am like the Pharisees with my walk of faith. And I need help from God. And we need help from God. Our text is good news tonight. Our text in the Gospel of John chapter 9 is good news tonight. It's actually great news tonight. But it's also bad news tonight. It's good news and it's bad news. It's talking about the blind and the seeing. It's the best possible news is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The best possible news in the account that we read tonight is seeing the Messiah for who he is, Jesus the Christ, the only begotten Son of God. It's Jesus and he's the best news. But also in the account of Gospel, John chapter 9, Jesus is also the the worst news. I heard it many years ago, and I've adopted and used it again and again and again, and it's so true. The gospel of Jesus Christ is good news. But it's only good news if it arrives on time. It's only good news if it gets there on time. For many, Jesus is the good news because he opens, hallelujah. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me, wretch, a very, 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 very unhappy person. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Oh, Jesus is such good news for the sinner. It will be awakened from the blindness of his spiritual sleep and will see and recognize he is the light of the world and all else is darkness. He is the way and there is no other way. Oh, how good it is to know the good news of Jesus Christ in the depths of our heart, buried in there where he washes away everything that we were and he establishes something that we never were before. And it is on Christ Jesus that my hope is built. On that solid rock, praise God, all other sinking, all other ground is sinking sand. It is, oh, it's sweet. It is such good news that you and I, through the gift of Jesus Christ, having sight spiritually, will never have to face eternal judgment. Glory to God. Bible said he came to judge. He didn't come to condemn. He didn't need to come to condemn because the word of God tells us our sins condemn us already. We're condemned already. We're born sinners. There's not one righteous. No, not one. We're born into this world sinners. This blind man is a picture of all of our lives. We are born as sinners. Blindness isn't sin, but we are born into sin. And Jesus Christ is the light. I'm so glad that he is the light of the world. John's gospel also reveals Jesus himself as the Messiah that has come, and we see him as this light. Through the gospel of John, we see Jesus represented as many different things. He is that wonderful and great and gentle shepherd. He is also the door, meaning the way of salvation for mankind. But here in this account, we see him as this precious light that is able to pierce through the darkness of our lives and rescue and redeem us. And I am so thankful for that. But there's also a great division. Verse 16 has made a great claim on what is happening inside and outside of the church, has happened in many, many ancient years ago as it did in this account, and is happening yet presently and in a reality of our world that we live in today, that there is still a division that is being made. Jesus Christ is the light, and in him there is no darkness, but there is a division. It is either good news for people or it is bad news for people. Either we're wanting Jesus and we are not. The Bible said, if you're not with me, you're against me. If you're gathering not up, you're scattering out. You're either in or you're out. My wife's testimony the other night is really the reality and the picture of a lot of our lives. So we've got one foot here and we've got one foot here. God needs to help us in those areas. Hey, we need revival. We need revival. We see that Jesus is this division, and he certainly has the right. Jesus is the light. I don't know a lot about it, and somebody told me about a moon phase that was going on last night. I just know that people were acting crazy, and I can always tell when it's full moon. That's all I know about a full moon. Don't know much more about that. Yeah, we could preach there a while on myself. But I know when the light's out, there's going to be a shadow somewhere. Wherever there's a light, there's going to also be somewhere some darkness. I'd like to think in my heart tonight there's just a whole lot of light in this auditorium. But I also know there's a reality that there may be some darkness here. And I know that Jesus Christ has an agenda for your life, and that is that you would know him as the light of your life. There's really two things that are in this account. There's two categories. There's this light and there's this darkness. This story is so unique in all the Bible because there's nowhere else where a man is born blind that Jesus is healing. And it's an account that absolutely describes who he is. It points to the Messiah and who he is to rescue. I think it was Wayne and I talking the other night. You know, this is our struggle so often. And I pray God make me a little bit smarter than what I am. But there is things that are in this Bible that culturally in our world that we live in, and because I'm not a Jew, I just can't even begin to understand some of the messages that are actually in this word that are here to reveal to us, and I can't pick them up because I'm not a part of that world and I don't understand exactly what is being said. But I know, but by this demonstration and this man that was born blind, it absolutely points to the Messiah that is coming, that God would heal, and Christ certainly has done that miraculous work in his life. I think the first thing that we need to hear is what I said in verse number 3 as we were reading through, and that the works of God should be made manifest in him. And I hope that you're satisfied tonight with that in your life. And I hope that is really the depths of your desire, of your relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is that he would be glorified and magnified in my life. Not just in the church where it's seemingly maybe a little bit easier to worship him and put things together. But hey, how about it when things are cracking to pieces? How about it when life becomes difficult? How about it when the workplace and the work environment ain't as conducive as it used to be? How about it when you've got a naysayer and you're working beside each and every day, and all he has to share with you is the darkness of his heart, the ridiculousness of your faith, and all he's wanting to do is smash out and smear into the name of Jesus Christ all that you believe and understand? It is difficult sometimes, but we're talking about Jesus Christ being glorified and magnified in all areas, in all points, in all relationships of our lives. Oh God, we need help tonight. We need revival. We need to get our minds where we need to have our minds. We need to have our perspectives where we need to have our perspectives. And we need God's help with verse 3. We can't even get on to the rest of the chapter because so many times we're struggling with the area. God, I don't understand. There's the difficulties in my life. There's things that I'm facing and dealing with that I didn't care for. I don't want to handle. But God, help make it in me tonight that you would be magnified in all of it. Remember, it's all about him. You see, there's such a tendency and a nature within inside of us to think that it maybe our part in it's a little bit bigger than what we really need to be seeing. Yeah, you are special in God's eyes. Yes, God does love you. In so much that he demonstrated it not on this cross, but an old rugged cross. Oh, you are precious to him. You are very precious to him. He didn't send the second or the third best, but he sent heaven's best to rescue and redeem our lives. Yes, he does love you, but it is all about him. It always has been. It always will be. When reality comes and eternity begins and we get to heaven, guess who we're going to worship? Him and forever. So often our perspective, it's not really where it needs to be. And we need help. First point I want to make tonight is God is at work. God is at work. He hasn't gone to sleep. His plans haven't got altered. Nothing has caught him aware by any means in your life or the world we live in today. He knows everything in detail. It is an amazing thing. I can't even begin to wrap my mind, my finite mind, around a finite God and how wonderful and how matchless and precious he is and how everything is. You know, I know so very little about all that exists. And it's in total balance. God is at work. Maybe you're like me tonight in so many areas, and maybe one in particular. I don't know. I don't know where you're at tonight, and maybe this message is just absolutely preaching to the preacher tonight. But maybe you are like me in dealing with things in life and understanding things and understanding God and understanding your faith, and you're like me, and you say so oftentimes as you're looking maybe at an account like John chapter 9 tonight, and you say, you know, I can see God there in the Bible. I can see what he's doing. I can understand exactly what's going on there, and I see him so very clearly there, and it's easy for me to comprehend. Those Pharisees, they were just spiritually blind. They didn't understand that the Messiah was standing there before them. They didn't understand his miraculous hands. It didn't matter if it was on a Sunday, a Saturday, a Tuesday, or when it was. When the great I Am has desired to heal and save an individual, it really don't matter if you're on a tractor seat. It don't matter if you're headed down the highway or you're in a church altar. It don't matter if you're by your bedside in the middle of the night or in a hospital bed. When Jesus Christ woos through the Holy Spirit and you need to be saved and you call upon him, it really doesn't matter where it is, and that we call upon him, he's able to save. And it's easy for me to see that. Oh, I know it's a huge story, and some don't accept it, and some don't believe it, but I believe that Jonah was swallowed by a great fish. I believe that he was there in the belly 3 days and three nights. I believe when Moses lifted his rod, the children of Israel crossed over on dry ground through the Red Sea. I believe when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into that fire, there really was the third person of the Trinity standing there in the midst of all of that, and they didn't smell like smoke. There wasn't a flame that singed them. There was nothing going on but God being glorified and manifested in their life. It's so easy for me to see it. Sometimes I'm talking to people and they're just broken. I don't understand. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know how I got here. And I want to smile, but I don't want them to think I'm ignorant. You know, not respectful. I see it. I see God at work. Oh, they don't see it yet. And maybe God will allow them to see it. And I look at that and I think, oh, God's at work here. Maybe it's a believer and I see God just, he's refining them. He's squeezing out some of that dross. He's making them pure. It's difficult for them. They got a lot of questions. They don't understand it all, but I see God working in it. Maybe it's that individual that's, they're a seeker. Maybe they're not seeking. Like Rick made mention the other night, and there's a Holy Spirit. It's working on them, bringing them under conviction, and he didn't understand it. He didn't know what it was. And I look at that, and I say, God, God's at work. I know that. But the struggle that I oftentimes have, and I'm sure that you can relate to tonight, beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord, is it's sometimes so easy for me to look at the scriptures and see God all over it and see God working in it. It's sometimes easy for me to look at other lives and see the work and the progression of God and the sanctifying of his Holy Spirit and the work of God showing and manifesting himself even in and through their lives. But when I look at my life, I don't always see that. I don't understand. Seems like we shouldn't be here, Lord. Maybe you don't have blind spots. I do. And I think really tonight God understands all of that in you and in me. But I think it's important and for our lives to make some determined decisions and some determined perspectives when we're here. I'm saying tonight, I think it's important for us to always see the light, even when we don't understand. Proverbs tells us that even when our understanding isn't there, we're to acknowledge God. And he'll direct our paths. Even when our understanding isn't there, the Bible said he gives peace that passes even our understanding. even when our understanding isn't there, our faith can say, I trust in a God that has never, never, never failed. I don't know, maybe you don't have blind spots. There's times I'm asking God, where are you at? I think there's times like he did to Adam, he's asking me, Nick, where are you at? Where are you at? You understand there's a tendency for us to have these areas in our hearts and our lives. Our only hope in the blindness and the blind areas of our lives is the light and the giver of sight. This isn't a message by no means. I'm not ridiculous enough. I'm not foolish enough to say that this is a message so that we can understand all of God and understand all of God in our ways. That's ridiculous. He is God. We are not. But there's enough evidence, there's enough promise, there's enough reality, there's enough faith, there's enough of everything stored in this word and his precious Holy Spirit for me that I should not trust, that for me that I shouldn't doubt him in any way or any measure or any area of my life. There shouldn't be moments in my life where I necessarily, just because I can't see him at work, I'm wanting to not trust him and not wanting to rely on him and not wanting to lean on him. Because yesterday he was faithful. He promised today he would be faithful. And we know that tomorrow he will be faithful. In every area, every situation of my life, God help me that my blind areas would see Jesus Christ. They might not see the situation and know and understand it. And believe me, beloved, tonight, I don't understand some of the situations I have walked through. I don't understand some of the situations you are in or you have walked through. And I don't think when we get to eternity, we're necessarily going to understand nor know all of them either. But I know I want God glorified. I want God manifested. I want God lifted up and praised through the name of Jesus Christ through my life in all areas. By saying that, I know that sometimes you're going to have to walk through some difficult things in order for him to shine. Because what he needs to do is get me out of the way so that somebody can see Jesus. Go ahead, flip on the TV. You don't find preaching like this. But you make your argument against the Word of God, because even in our sufferings, Jesus is going to be magnified. I want him. Church, I want him to be seen in and through our lives. And certainly through our sufferings. There's so many times that why question comes up. And we wrestle with it. Did this blind man ever ask why? I don't know. Do you ever ask why? I can't simply recall a time that we talked together and you asked why. But there's been times, if we get honest tonight, all I know that so oftentimes in the greatest struggles I have and my moments of greatest weaknesses and when I feel the most broken and not put together and when I see more of my disabilities than all of my abilities and I see more of my faults and my failures, and I wonder how is it that God could even use somebody like me? Why is it that God would even choose to manifest himself in and through my life? It is seemingly in those moments of the deepest valleys. It's seemingly in those moments of the greatest struggles when I don't understand anything is going on in this journey that we're on today. All I gotta do is remember who he is and get my eyes up above the valley that I'm in and see him lifted up and see him as the light and who he is and remember all that he is and stare at his glory and stare at his majesty and be reminded of the hope and the reality that we have. I was sitting on my porch the other day talking to a gentleman, and you know this country and all the government and all the faults come up in so many conversations, and he got to spilling out all of these things going on. And I said to him right then and there, listen, I know all of that's going on. It troubles me. I pray often about it. I uplift the leaders of this land because God help them. They need the Holy Spirit of God and help in their life and rescue over their life. You understand we're living in ridiculous times. And I know all of that in reality. But I said, I am so glad that my hope is not in this world we live in today. My hope is one that is greater, one that has defeated death, hell, and the grave. He has defeated every sin, glory to God, in my life and the lives of others. I'm glad he's the answer. I'm glad he's the solution. All we got to do is get looking at the light. Sounds easy, doesn't it? That's why you're among like company. That's why you got fellowship in the church. That's why the Lord has placed brothers and sisters around you, some of them physically, some of them spiritually, some of them both. And he has planted them in blessed areas of your life. They're in moments of your life. Yes, we become discouraged at times. Yes, we lose light of things. And he has placed them there. And they ought to be encouragement to you. They ought to be an uplift to you and reminding you, not this world we're living in, glory to God, but the world that we're going to live in forever and forever and ever. Now listen, beloved, understand, I'm built with the same fabric you are. I'm not anxious to go tonight. God has blessed me with some good jewels and a blessing gift down here. And I live in a fine family, in a wonderful house, and a beautiful church family that I get to worship with. But glory to God, I am so thankful for the promise and the hope that I have in Jesus Christ that when I take the last breath or the trump of God shall sound, I'm going home. Not from McAllisterville, PA 17049. I'm going over there. I'm not even sure exactly where that's at. I just know it's up there past the third heaven. It's where Jesus is. It's where Jesus is. That's where I want to be. That's where I want my wife to be. That's where I want my boys to be. That's where I want us all to be forever and ever and ever. Joseph said, after his ordeal of being thrown in a pit, then a dungeon, and suffering and all of that, he stared at his brothers and he said, see, what you meant for evil, God meant it for good. God manifesting himself even through all of that, Christ, help us to give sight. Let me explain it like this here as I bring it to an end, skipping so much. Christian life consists of getting to know Jesus better and better and better and better. That's what the journey we're on. Pressing into a more and more. Finding that light so precious and so sweet. You know, this body is changing. Can't quite see outside, but this time of the night, especially when we were coming down this overcast night sky, boy, can't see what I used to see. And in those early morning hours when the darkness is leaving and the new light is coming in, sometimes I'm like, what is that out there? Tonight I told Snowy as we were coming down over Spigs Hill, I said, hey, and there's two deer there. We got to the bottom and looked. He said, Dad, there's a whole bunch of deer that went running across there. That low light. That low light makes it so difficult to see. Well, church is so important that we get to the light. And that looks like so many things in our lives. It looks like here's tonight in this service. Get into the church house. Looks like this tonight, worshiping. In fellowship of one another, in fellowship of the Lord. It, It's among Bible study. It's among the Christian fellowship and the reading of God's word and praying together. That's how we see the light correctly and effectively in our lives. Listen, it is amazing how dark things become when we get away from the light. Maybe you've got some blind spots tonight. I don't know what for struggles, and maybe if you even have any tonight, I don't know what for conflicts, I don't know what for frustrations, I don't know what for pains and cares you've been carrying with the Lord lately and dealing with and processing. All I know is my blindness sometimes can really wreak havoc in my life. And I've seen it in so many others. My blindness can do amazing things. My blindness can hinder my prayer life like almost instantaneously. My blindness and not understanding and then worrying about that not understanding, sometimes why it places doubt in the God I'm praying to. Sometimes my blindness, it'll develop feelings. You know, I'm just talking a little bit tonight, and if you want to agree with me tonight, that'll be okay too. Get honest with the Lord and the Holy Spirit tonight. Sometimes my blindness will help develop feelings that they oughtn't to be there. You know, I can tell you time and time again of situations of blindness people have walked into with, and blindness just means a misunderstanding. They walked into a situation and they blew up. They didn't understand details. They didn't understand what was going on. They didn't understand where that person was coming from. They didn't understand any of the background. And all of a sudden, wham, bam, and those feelings are there. Darkness. Misunderstanding. Blindness. It's amazing how crafty and deceptive the enemy is at doing that right here. Oh, he does it good. Blind areas in our lives. Those blind areas, they trouble us. Church, tonight I'm asking you tonight if you see the light. And I'm asking you tonight to press into that light. Will you bow your heads with me in prayer? Father, tonight we just thank you. Truly thank you for the sinner. It is a glorious light to know that we can be saved. Rescued, yes, from the pits of hell and an eternity of suffering without Jesus Christ. That is true. But what I remember most of all about seeing that light for the very first precious time is I could be rescued from myself and my sins. You truly are a saving Jesus. Father, I pray tonight that you would maybe help a brother or help a sister tonight to press into the light. Jesus, maybe areas in our lives that we have wrestled with, struggles of blindness we don't understand, and we have brought it before you, and there's frustrations and there's pains going on, and all of those things sometimes are just very natural and to be expected, but not to be held on to, not to be caressed in our heart, not to be buried in our spirit, but to be relinquished, to be handed over to God, to be surrendered at his feet, to see the light. God, will you help us tonight in these closing moments? In Jesus' name I pray.